Have you ever had a sleepless night? Now, I'm not talking about you drank an espresso right before time for bed and couldn't get to sleep. And I'm not talking about, well, I've got restless leg syndrome, so I can't get to sleep. And I'm certainly not going to be able to share anything with you that helps with what the Ecclesiastes writer talked about. The fact is, just as we get older, it gets harder to sleep, and I understand that. I'm talking about one of those kind of sleepless nights where your mind is just racing because there's some trouble going on, some anxiety that is facing you. Perhaps there's been some enemy on the job or in the neighborhood or in the family that's done something or said something that's been upsetting and they're attacking. Maybe there's some financial turmoil and trouble going on in your life and you're just not sure how you're going to get through that. Or maybe there's some other kind of struggle that you're facing. Maybe church problems that you're dealing with. And you're just so anxious about it that when it comes time to go to bed, your mind is just turning and twisting. And you just can't get your mind off of those things. And you just lie awake all night long thinking about and running through your mind different conversations you've had with people or want to have with people. All those kinds of troubles and struggles. Because if you've ever had a night like that, then you understand what David is talking about in Psalm 4. In the fourth psalm, we find David in the midst of turmoil, some type of trouble or struggle. Someone is attacking and speaking ill of him and lying about him. And in the midst of the psalm, we see a struggle with sleep. This psalm is an evening prayer. Those of you who remember when we looked at Psalm 3 will recognize we said that one was a morning prayer. In Psalm 3, he said, I went to sleep and I got up and I thank God. And now he's talking about going to bed. So we have Psalm 3 as a morning prayer and Psalm 4 as an evening prayer. In fact, many believe that Psalm 4 and Psalm 3 go together, that probably they were written during the same turmoil that David was facing with Absalom. And that may well be the case. I think there are some similarities between these two psalms, and that makes a whole lot of sense to me. But there are a lot of disagreements on what's exactly going on in this psalm, and I don't know all the answers to that. Some would suggest that David is actually writing on behalf of the Levites. There in Psalm 4 and verse 3, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and some would suggest, oh, that's talking about the Levites who have been set apart as holy unto the Lord, as they are being looked down upon by the rest of Israel because they don't have the land and the riches that the rest of the tribes are given. And that's a possibility. Some look at Psalm number 4 and believe that it's David writing to his enemies and telling them how to repent. That's a possibility. Some, on the other hand, believe that David is actually talking to the folks who are on his side as they're facing this turmoil and struggle and explaining to them, here's how we maintain peace and calmness, relying on the Lord throughout this. And others think that maybe there's a little bit of both, that he goes back and forth in the psalm. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't think there's enough information in the psalm to know for sure all that's going on. But what I can see is what it says in the very last verse. In the very last verse of Psalm 4, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Here is a person that whether he's talking to his enemies about how they need to repent, or he's talking to his friends about how they need to face the enemies, or whether he's speaking on behalf of those who have devoted their lives to God and God has called to them, whatever the case may be, I think what we see for us, how can we in the midst of these situations say this? In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Back up in verse 4, it's be angry and don't sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Here's somebody that on their beds, they've got agitation and struggle. But by the end of the psalm, I will lie down and sleep. And so I'd like for us to consider on those kinds of sleepless nights, how can we find sleep? I think we can walk through this psalm and see what David saw. Think what David thought. Feel what David felt. Follow these footsteps that David steps for us. And we can learn, relying on God, to find sleep on those sleepless nights, rather than anxiety and anguish and turmoil because of what's going on in life around us. Before we look at this, would you bow with me in prayer? God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your love and mercy. We praise you and lift you up because you take care of us. Father, sometimes we get caught up in our anxieties and our doubts and our struggles, and we try to take over, and we pray that you would forgive us for that, and that you would fill us with faith, that we might lie down and find sleep and peace because we know you are on the job and you are caring for us. And as so many have said, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know that you hold tomorrow. And because of that, Father, we can rest because we know that you are working and you bless your beloved in our sleep. Father, help us tonight to learn from this very simple psalm, to have faith and trust in you, and through that to find sleep on those sleepless nights. We pray that what we do here tonight brings glory and honor to you because we love you so much. And we thank you that you have loved us first. Through your Son Jesus we pray. Amen. As we read in Psalm 4, David wrote, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good?' Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they when they have their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." I'd like for us to notice four very simple things here in this psalm that help David find sleep on a sleepless night. First of all, there in verse 1. If we want to find sleep on sleepless nights, the very first thing that we need to learn from this psalm is that we need to count our blessings, not sheep. Count your blessings, not sheep. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." No doubt we need to note from this that one of the things that David did to find sleep was to pray. And I don't want to minimize that. We need to turn to God in prayer. But what I think is more important for us in these moments of trial and suffering and struggle is to recognize the basis of why he turned to God in this psalm. This wasn't just praying because it was a religious obligation. This wasn't just praying because it was a ritual. This was praying, he says, because you have given me relief when I was in distress. Please notice that David is not saying, "You are giving me relief from this distress right now." He's in the middle of some kind of distress. Why is he praying at this moment? Because you have given me relief in my distress. He's highlighting and thinking about all the times of distress that he's gone through before, and that God in those times has brought him relief. He's counting his blessings. He's thinking about the times that God has been there for him, and God has cared for him, and God has brought him through all these difficulties. If indeed this is the time of Absalom's rebellion, I can think of many times that David had been in distress. What about when he's in the wilderness keeping those sheep and they're the lions and the bears that attacked? And God brought him through that. Goliath, as Goliath was facing against the enemy, against Israel, and nobody would step out. But David was able to step out when Goliath called. God brought him through that distress. What about when Saul was chasing him? What about battles with the Philistines? Again and again, David had faced distressing situations, and he's in the middle of another one. And here's what he knows. Yes, it's distressing. I don't know what's going to happen. If this is the case with Absalom, he highlights he doesn't know what God's going to do, but he believes that God is going to do the right thing. And what he understands, and why he is able to find sleep on this sleepless night, instead of just tossing and turning in his bed because of the anxiety, is because he knows, "I serve a God who's taken care of me. My God's not picking on me. My God cares about me. My God is there for me. He's been there for me in the past. He'll be there for me now, and he'll be there for me in the future. I'm going to hang on to him. You have given me relief when I was in distress. And so be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Because of that, I'm going to bring my prayer to you." Folks have often said what you need to do is count sheep if you're having trouble going to sleep. And I'm not exactly sure why that's supposed to help, other than maybe it's just the idea that, well, the monotony getting your mind off of whatever it is that's going on, and you now have the monotony of counting the sheep. Maybe that'll get your mind off of it. I don't know. But what we really need to do is spend time thinking about how God has cared for us. And God will continue to care for us. And now we can go to sleep because we know even while we're sleeping, you know what God's doing? God is busy caring for us even while we sleep. The second thing we find in verses 2 and 3. Oh men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. As we consider these two verses, what we recognize is if you want to find sleep on these kinds of sleepless nights, is you need to focus on God and not on the men. Here we find in verse 2 that David is talking to these men who have heard lies, who turning his honor into shame. And if he spent his time thinking about those men and all those things that they had said, he's not going to find sleep. Isn't that how that works? Those who have told lies about us and we spend all night long wishing we could give them a piece of our mind. Boy, if I got to talk to them, here's what I'd say. And we just say it over and over and over again. We play out that videotape. Or we remember the conversation we did have with them. And if you're like me, it's not until at least 30 minutes later that you realize what you really should have said. And then all night long, you're thinking about, oh, I wish I had said this. Man, if I had said this. Up all night thinking about that. I mean, when he's focusing on the men, they're not going to find any sleep. But instead, notice verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. He focuses on God. He moves from the men that won't listen to him, and he turns to the God who does listen, the God who does care, the God who does hear. And this is what we need to understand. We have an enemy, and our enemy will attack. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter says to us, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We have an enemy, and he doesn't care who you are, and he doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care who your folks are, who your kids are, who your siblings are. He doesn't care where you work. He doesn't care how much money you make. He doesn't care what kind of car you drive. He's going to attack, and he will use anybody and everybody to attack. And so we just have to come to grips with the fact that we are going to have enemies. There are going to be people who attack. We are going to have tough times. And if we spend all our time focusing on them, we're going to have a lot of sleepless nights. If we give them so much power in our lives and in our minds taking over, we are going to have a lot of sleepless nights. Instead, what we need to do, instead of giving the power to those who are the enemies of God and his people, to those who would stab us in the back, to those who would lie about us, instead of giving all that power to them, we need to give that power to God. We need to focus on God, the God who does listen, the God who does hear, the God that we can call on and cast our cares upon. We need to focus on him. We need to remember the blessings that come from him in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. As we focus on this God who is a blessing giver, Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Continuing in verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the God we serve, and these are the blessings that he's offered. And rather than giving power to the enemies who would be against us, who would turn our honor to shame, who would lie about us, we need to focus on this God and what he has done for us and is doing for us through
Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You want a thought that'll help you rest and sleep at night? Think about what God has done. He has taken you from the kingdom of darkness. The one thing that matters most, the thing that's going to have eternal significance. Trials in this world are tough. But you want to know what's going to be bad? Being in the kingdom of darkness when all this world is over. And what we can say is He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. And He has brought us into the kingdom of His Son. And that's what I need to think about. That's where I need to focus. Because when I can put my focus on God instead of on the men and women around me, I can find sleep on those nights of agitation. This is the God who has blessed us. And He blesses His beloved with sleep. And in their sleep. We need to count our blessings, not sheep. We need to focus on God, not men. Third, we need to trust in the Lord, not yourself. Trust in the Lord, not in yourself. There in Psalm 4, as we continue on, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. This is where the rubber hits the road. Be angry and don't sin. Ponder in your own hearts. There are a lot of different opinions about who David is talking to here. There are some who would tell us that he is talking to the enemies. And he's telling them how they need to repent. There are others who look at this and see what it's saying. And they say, no, I think now David is turning and he's talking to his supporters. And here's how we maintain faith in the face of these enemies. It seems to me, whichever one of those cases is true, it still comes back to the same point for us as we want to apply this to our lives today. Be angry and don't sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Some translations say, be agitated. Tremble and don't sin. I think the idea that we see here is that distress happens. And what David is saying is, you know what? Ponder that in your bed and be silent. Trust in the Lord. Rather than stepping out and I'm going to try to fix this, he's saying, look, you need to think about that in the privacy of your own bedchamber. Tremble in your bed. Be silent. Trust God. Don't step out with, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to follow my way. I'm going to make this work. Trust in the Lord. Paul quotes this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Paul quotes it and expands for us. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. When we, because of our anger, say, I am going to step out and I am going to fix this and we're going to do things my way, that gives an opportunity to the devil. When we hang on to that, instead of letting it be dealt with by God, we're giving an opportunity to the devil. And so there in Psalm 4, what David responds is, instead of going and doing all kinds of things about this for yourself, what you need to do is offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. God will take care of this. Isn't that what God did for David in all of those circumstances? Whether this is Absalom or his time with Saul or all of those other situations, David putting his trust in the Lord. And he says, offer right sacrifices. I have no doubt that in this context, this refers to some of the sacrifices that would have to be offered at the temple. But surely, this also refers to what we learn in Psalm 51 and verse 17. Psalm 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Offer right sacrifices to God. Bring to God the broken spirit, the humble heart, the heart that says, God, I need you. I can't deal with this. I can't get this done on my own. I can't face this. I am not powerful enough. I am not strong enough. God, only you can handle this. And so I am going to trust you. And of course, trusting God means I'm just going to do what you say about this. I'm just going to follow your word.
and I'm not going to go out on my own. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to submit, and I'm going to surrender. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust you, Lord. And when we can pull ourselves off of that throne, then we don't have to stay awake all night trying to figure out how to solve the problems and deal with the issues. We can recognize, you know what I can do right now? Because I can't do a single thing about this. Right now, what I need to do is go to sleep. So when I wake up tomorrow, I can serve the Lord some more. And I know that God is working on this for me. And finally, we recognize we've got to find our joy above, not below. Find your joy above, not below. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. There's no doubt that this statement about lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord, harkens back to the blessing of Aaron in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. He's calling to mind that blessing. But the problem that we have is highlighted in verse 7. David says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And David's good attitude here highlights my often bad attitude. The problem is, sometimes our focus is too low. It's not that God is not blessing us enough. It's just that our idea of blessing is too mediocre. And we get upset because God has not blessed us with some of these mediocre things like big houses and nice cars and great clothes and computers and gadgets and gizmos and lots of money and all kinds of food. And what David says is his focus is on what's above. You, God, have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. And what David is pointing out is even if the enemies of mine are successful and they take away a lot of these physical blessings, I still have God. And I have the life that God is offering, and I have the eternity that God is granting, and I have the relationship with God. If we could only understand how wonderful and beautiful the blessing of having God is. But all too often, our focus is too low. Most often, these kind of sleepless nights are coming to us because we're spinning our wheels, spending our time trying to protect or preserve or produce these mediocre blessings. Rather than being thankful that God has blessed us beyond all of that. And you know, I can sleep tonight. Because no matter what I don't have, I'll tell you what I do have. I have God. And because of that, I can sleep. How could Paul and Silas sing praises in a jail cell where they've been beaten, chained, bleeding, bruised, and wounded? Probably rats are crawling around, lice, flies, and bugs crawling on them. And what are they doing? They're praising God. I can tell you why. Because no matter what they took away, Paul had the thing he wanted most. God. And when I understand that, when all the rest of life is in shambles and everything else is being threatened to be taken away from me, I can still sleep because they cannot take away from me the most important thing. They cannot take God away from me. And so I need to let my joy come from above, not from below. And then I can find sleep. You want to find sleep on those kinds of sleepless nights? No, this won't help you come off of a caffeine high. And no, it's not a prescription for restless leg syndrome. But in those nights when what you're dealing with is anxiety and trouble and turmoil because of what's going on in the situations of life, man, if we can mirror this, we will be able to say along with David, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How are you doing at that?
If you'd like to, you can go ahead and put your Bibles and belongings away. And if you're going to be using a songbook, you can pull those out now. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Number 129, if you're going to be using a songbook, that's where we're going to be in just a moment. Here's why we can sleep no matter what else is going on in the world around us. Because we have a Savior who went to the cross for us to overthrow the worst enemy we've got. And it does not matter what any other enemy or trouble brings along. They can't hold a candle to that enemy, and that enemy's already beaten. And so this puts us in a really great spot, because it allows us to say, along with so many others, you know, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. But it allows me to say what so many else can't say, and that is, what does kill me just brings me into God's presence. Yeah, and that's the blessing. I mean, what's your enemy going to do to you? The worst thing he can imagine is to end your life. And all that does for those of us who are in Jesus Christ is actually just start it. I'm not saying that we need to go around being masochists who long for death. But I got to tell you, when I realize that the worst thing my enemy has planned for me actually just produces the best thing ever, we can make it. We can make it. What doesn't kill you, make you stronger. And what does, just brings you into God's presence. And that's because of Jesus. Are you in Him? Have you allowed Jesus to take your sins away so that you can truly sleep at night no matter what else is going on? If we can help you surrender to Him, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?